Support for Rob Has a Podcast comes to us in part from our listeners who've become patrons of the podcast. To all the people that have become patrons of RHAP during this Survivor season, you guys are the opposite of dead fish. So thank you very much for that. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, visit us on our website at robswebsite.com/patron.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls.
That's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls are here live after the finale. And I should say it is the Survivor Know-It-Alls minus our good friend, Stephen Fishback, who is on his way to go to Survivor Second Chance. But here is a man who was married by Stephen Fishback, not married to Stephen Fishback. Here is the winner of Survivor Blood versus Water, Tyson Apostle.
Hurrah! Yeah. I also played Survivor with Stephen Fishback.
Yes. Oh, my God. Tyson, so much to get to here tonight. We had the Survivor 30 finale, everything that happened with that. Congratulations to Mike on his victory of the 30th season of Survivor. We had a really wacky final tribal council, some interesting stuff that came up at the reunion show, and Jeff revealed the cast of Survivor Second Chance. Boy, this didn't send Rachel into labor tonight, did it?
Let me check. Nope, she's still got the baby in her tummy.
Okay, well, because if anything was gonna knock that baby right out, it would have been this exciting 3 hours of television.
Yeah, I've been scaring her around corners a lot too, and that hasn't helped either.
You're trying to induce. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Anyway, Tyson, thank you very much for joining us. Very happy news for Steven. Happy news for a lot of people that we know. Some disappointing news for some other people tonight that found out they're not going. We are disappointed for certain people as well tonight. So let's just set this up, because I think that this might be the biggest live show that we ever have in terms of people watching us live. We are on robswebsite.com. We're live. We've got the chat room open. I see that I've got over 1,600 people just in the chat room right now. We have Twitter open, hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions during this hour. And then also on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, tomorrow I'm going to do a season 30 wrap-up show. I'm sure we'll talk plenty of Survivor Second Chance as well with Josh Wiggler. Send us in your voicemails for that show at robswebsite.com/voicemail. And also on our voicemail inbox at 323-282-RHAP. I'm going to be doing that somewhat early in the day tomorrow. So don't wait around for your voicemails. And then Tyson, I will be speaking with the final five cast members from Survivor Worlds Apart. None of them are going away to Survivor Second Chance. So all five of them will be on the podcast on Thursday.
Very exciting. It sounds like you have a busy schedule.
The busy, busy schedule. And of course, the Evolution of Strategy, our 30 season rewatch that I'm doing with Josh Wiggler and myself. Volume 2 is going to drop on Friday. So get ready for that as well. So much to do. But Tyson, we got to start with this Survivor Second Chance reveal. Did you like, and I know you had a lot of friends that were out there. Some of your friends got on. Other people you're friends with did not. Did you like how they did the reveal of Jeff going down and telling people if they were on and if they were not? And it was a bit of a tease for each person.
Yeah, I did like that. I thought that was pretty good. It got through it quickly enough that it didn't draw it out. And I'm sure those people didn't like it so much, but I like the way they did it. I wasn't sure how they were going to do it.
Well, we have been tracking this with our exit polling, and I did a big podcast last night, a 2-hour show projecting what the cast was. And for the most part, we were scared of some sort of nuclear scenario where recency was going to really be the deciding factor and whether all these TV viewers were going to come up. Basically, our exit poll was right in line with some things. The two biggest things that people on the internet were voting for that we didn't get, T-Bird and Shane Powers, do not get in the cast. Are you surprised, Tyson?
I'm surprised by Shane. T-Bird, I'm not as surprised by, but Shane was mind-blowing. I thought Shane's video was probably one of the best and realest videos when you go to CBS to vote. So that really, really shocked me.
Yeah, it was shocking also because that the people that voted, they voted in the other classic players. They voted in Kelly Wigglesworth. They voted in Jeff Varner. They voted in Kimmy Kappenberg. It's, you know, Andrew Savage also. And of all the people that were on the board from the first 10 seasons, except T-Bird, who we had third in our polls. We had her at getting somewhere in the neighborhood of about over 80% of the vote. So that's surprising that she doesn't get on. Shane Powers, same thing. It's that third place curse. Shane Powers, we had him at number three in our poll. The only people that were doing better than him in our polling was Steven and Spencer. He doesn't make the cut. I'm sure he is going to be very angry about all of this because that he had so many close calls. I know he was famously going to be out there with you guys on the Villains Tribe and they bumped him for Russell.
Yeah, that's correct. And he went on a whole tirade, wrote like an open letter to Lynn Spillman and stuff.
Right. And he was mad. He was mad about Russell. He was mad about you. He was mad about Randy. He wanted to wire all these guys ahead of him. And I am very sad for all of us that we don't get to see Shane back because he is absolutely incredible television.
Yeah. I was a little bit bummed too. Shane as a person, I don't know him that well, but just judging from his online presence and from what he did on the show, that is shocking and disappointing.
Yeah. And the guy who is the surprise here in all of this, the person that we didn't have, but I told you last night that I was really afraid was going to get in there was Wu. We had Wu drawing about 25% of the on about 25% of your ballots. I said he was the guy that was going to be most helped by a number of just the people that are watching the TV that aren't in the online community. I felt like Wu was going to had a chance to sneak in there. And I said that's going to come at the expense of one of these classic players. I thought it was going to be Terry before it was Shane or Andrew Savage. I'm surprised to see both Terry and Andrew Savage make it and Shane not make it.
Yeah, that was crazy. When they were sitting next to each other, I really thought that one would go and one would stay.
One would go and one would stay. And that was very surprising. Also surprising, both Max Dawson and Carolyn both don't make the cut. Certainly the Carolyn thing is a bigger surprise than the Max thing just based on screen time.
Yeah, Carolyn didn't have a great night tonight, I don't think.
No. It wasn't a great night. And for Carolyn, yeah, that was a real bummer because you felt like that America was going to vote her in.
Yeah, I thought so. And you know, she got a pretty great edit on the show, edit or personality or whatever you want to blame it on. It seemed like people enjoyed her on the show and certainly enjoyed her enough to vote her back on. But there was a little confusion in voting, thinking that either Mike or Carolyn was going to win. And that could have hurt her.
Certainly. Yeah, I'm sure. And we'll talk about that with her tomorrow. Also, Keith Nail makes the final cut that he was on the bubble, but I felt like that there was enough, that he had enough goodwill with the audience that I, am not surprised that he's there. I almost considered him, one of the other locks. So just to give you the rundown real quick, your cast of Survivor Second Chance for the guys, it's Steven, very excited to see, Steven back. Tyson, people were sending me screenshots that when they had everybody go stand on the stage, Steven was in that winner's seat that you know so well.
Is that
foreshadowing?
Fortuitous, maybe. I thought you were going to say he was doing something like this as a signal to me.
Yes,
like,
Tyson. Yes, yes. Steven, Spencer, Varner, Vitas. Very excited. A lot of excitement, I'm sure, at the Biskauskas house tonight to see your friend and my Vitas to go back.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. He was pretty much a lock. I feel.
I had him as a lock as well. Yeah. Jeremy Collins. He goes back. He's one of our locks. Terry. We had him on the bubble. He ultimately makes it. Joe, he was a lock. Jim Rice ultimately did not get it. Jim Rice looked to be the most disappointed of anybody in the audience.
Yeah, he looked bummed. I mean, and they've teased him a few times before too, so rightly so, you know.
Yes.
It's hard to go through that and then be told no, and then to get a call the next year or 2 years later and be willing to even go through it all again. So, you know, give him kudos for going through casting three or four times.
Yes. Also, Jim, he got that Mike won the game, which he needed. That was certainly a good sign for him. But ultimately, he's one of the five guys that doesn't make it. Andrew Savage gets on. Max Dawson, tough night for Max. Doesn't get a question in the reunion. Gets sort of run off the stage and then also doesn't get back on.
Yeah, that is a tough night for him, especially loving the game as much as he does.
Yes. Also, Keith gets back on. Keith had a good moment, Jeff calling him up on the stage.
Yeah, no, Keith was, yeah, that was definitely good. Max was interesting too, because he, I don't know if I would have included him in the second chance, because right. I think as a gamer, he wasn't really that strong.
That's totally fair. They keep saying that production loved him. Him and Jim Rice, production loved those guys. But ultimately, that just didn't translate to the voters. Troy Zan, tough night for him. He doesn't get on.
I feel like a lot of the nice guys got on versus the guys who kind of raised more of a ruckus on their season.
I think that's entirely fair. If you take a look at these guys, the guys who didn't get on, Brad, Max, Jim, Shane, and who is the other? Troy Zan. All people that, you know, got somewhat of a negative edit or were seen as the mean guys in their season.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of the guys who made it were all, you know, Vetus is the one that you could say was villain adjacent.
Yeah. The most schmarmy.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. But of all those people, that's an interesting observation. For Brad, you had to feel for Brad a little bit when he gets down to, okay, two spots left. Let's see who's left. All right. It's Brad, Spencer, and Joe, like the two biggest locks on the board. And Brad was even like, look who I'm sitting next to.
Yeah. And he just was like, congrats, guys. He was very gracious. And that's kind of Brad to a T. He knew he was gone. He was just like, whatever.
Tyson, for the life of me, I will never know what Brad Culpepper was doing these last 2 weeks.
How do you mean?
The guy did not campaign for this at all. You didn't hear a thing from him.
He avoids social media like the plague for some reason. And I don't know if it's like a pride point for him or what it is, but he won't get on Twitter, no Facebook, nothing like that. You got to text him. That's the only way you can get in touch with this guy.
You got to text more people if he's up for this again. On the women's side, Cass makes it. We had her as a lock. Sierra, she's going back as well. I thought she was cute on the show when they went to her.
Yeah, definitely. She'll be good.
We talked about T-Bird. T-Bird, your heart broke for her because she was the first person that Jeff said their name and then she wasn't going.
Yeah, the real tease. One of the first teases.
Yeah, that's sad. Tasha.
I know how bad she wanted it, too. I think she was...
I know.
Everybody obviously wanted it, but some people had kind of prepared themselves for the disappointment. And I think she was just so hopeful that it really was. I'm sure it's tough for her.
Yeah. Tasha, she gets on. Kelly Wigglesworth, she's back. She's the first one that they mentioned. Shireen, she goes back. Boy, got to feel like Shireen may have hurt herself in Survivor Worlds Apart with her admission that she was a millionaire at 25. She made her first million when she was 25 in the final tribal council speech.
Yeah, I don't think that bodes well for her.
Yeah, that was not great. That was not.
How many does she have if that was just her first?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. PG makes it on. I think that was a little bit of a surprise because at that point we didn't quite know how this vote was going to go. And she was with a couple people, and Jeff said, you know, one of you guys is going to make it on. So PG, congratulations to PG. I know that's very exciting that she goes back. Kelly Wentworth also goes back. We had her as somebody who was sort of in on the bubble, and she's going to be back in the mix. I'm sure she's very excited. I'm sure Dale is very excited. Abby Maria is back. Monica Padilla also was somebody who was on the bubble, but she intrigues me a little bit going back.
Right. I can see that. She did have some good plays. And I think she deserves to be there. Who was right after her or right next to her? Stephanie. That was a little disappointing. I wanted to see her back.
You wanted to see her back? There was just no, she wasn't polling well with us, and she was, you know, aligned. She was a friend of Russell. All the friends of Russell, did not do great tonight. Monica Padilla, who I guess became friends with Russell after the show, she gets on, but the people who were, you know,
during the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Natalie
does not get on. She gets shut out. Not memorable enough, I guess. Sabrina, what it was by Natalie.
Yeah.
I would have thought maybe if it was just by the TV viewers, if it was came down to Natalie or Monica, I would think that the TV viewers would have voted in Natalie ahead of Monica because she was friends with Boston Rob and she was there with Boston Rob and her season wasn't as far back as Monica. But Monica, she had a very strong campaign. She was really out there working it the whole time. Natalie was not. And she gets the nod over Natalie. Kimmy Kappenberg is back. And then, as we mentioned, Stephanie, Natalie, Carolyn, Sabrina, Michaela. Those were the bottom five in our poll. They all are on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because with the guys, there's a clear line between the most villainous guys, just none of them got on.
Yeah. We said last night that we felt like we had a pretty good handle on how the women was going to be. We ultimately, I think I had T-Bird in and PG out, but, and I had Carolyn in. I thought Carolyn was going to get the call. I had Carolyn over Monica, I think also, but for or Carolyn over Kimmy. But for the most part, you know, we kind of knew what was going on with the women. The men we said was a little bit more of a mess, and certainly some surprises there with Wu and Keith and Andrew Savage. Those were three of the bubble guys that we had that are all on the inside with Jim Rice and Shane being the bubble guys who did not ultimately make the cut. So more on that to come. I'm sure we're going to have a talk about Survivor Second Chance a million times. Let's start to segue into talking about the stuff that's going on with Survivor 30, because we're going to be very tempted all summer long to talk about Survivor Second Chance.
Are you going to interview any of these people that did not make it onto the show?
I would love to interview them because don't you feel like those guys are just going to be like, all right, here's the thing. Every single day I got a phone call from Andrew Savage. He was saying that blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like that'll start tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's talk to him.
By the way, Andrew Savage was random person X that I threw out there. I have no sense that
all the pregame alliances.
Right, right. You know, we'll get Max Dawson in here tomorrow to talk about this.
Perfect.
Okay. But that being said, so congratulations to Mike. He really, I think, is a unique case in terms of Survivor winners in that his back was against the wall from so far back out that he really had to win. I think, five out of the last six challenges, and the one he didn't win, he had to play his idol. I don't think anybody's ever had to just go wire to wire like that in Survivor history.
Yeah, it was beautiful to watch. I liked imagining myself in that position, knowing everyone was against you and they couldn't vote you out.
And, you know, I probably would have felt like that if you were going to win a Survivor season, I would think that you would ultimately, that would be your story. But your Survivor story is actually the opposite of that, where you actually controlled the numbers. And even though you did win a couple final of immunity challenges down this stretch, you were on the opposite side of that, where you were controlling what was going on coming down the stretch, where Mike didn't have that luxury at all down the stretch. And he's really the first person has done that. And everybody's always worried about somebody. Oh, he'll go on an immunity stretch and he'll go on an immunity run the whole way and win this whole thing. It never happened before until now.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I honestly was a little envious that he was able to do it that way. I know there's something to be said for people who can socially control the game and keep the numbers on their side. But if you can win challenges, there's no reason to have to keep the numbers.
Yeah.
You take the goats to the end or whatever you got to do. It doesn't matter.
Yes. I think for Mike, it really was just this incredible run. And for me, I think that maybe one of the smartest things that he did, which I criticized him at the time, was voting out Joe.
Yeah, because Joe was the only other challenge guy that was even competitive.
Yeah, because I had said that Joe was a person that was sort of protecting him in that, okay, if Mike votes out Joe, everybody's going to come after Mike. But then they did, but Mike was able to win all the immunities. So It really was wild.
Joe probably would have won some and Mike would have gone home as their second choice.
Yeah. So for Mike, it really ended up being a good thing to not have Joe in there. I mean, it's such a crazy season where Joe wins the first couple of immunities. And then after that, pretty much Mike wins the rest of them with Carolyn winning one in between. Oh, I'm sorry, Tyler won one. And then Carolyn won a co-ed one.
Correct.
Yeah. And so...
It's just nuts. It's just proves that this game is so unpredictable. And like you could throw those 20 people in the same exact game in the same exact scenario and it would play out 100 different ways each time.
Yeah. Let's just talk about the way that Mike ultimately got down from 5-3 here tonight. Because I thought there was a couple of interesting turns along the way. So at final five, Mike wins immunity. Everybody's working against him. And he has a choice to go with the two guys or to go with the two women. And his move there is to vote out Sierra. What did you think of Sierra as being the piece from the puzzle that he ultimately wants to take out to move ahead?
I think all we're doing is being able to watch it from a distance. So in the moment and in the game, he probably felt nobody's on my side. I have to take the person who's most competitive in the challenges out so that I better my odds in winning the next challenges. From a social standpoint and who's going to win over a jury, you probably would have wanted to vote out Mama C at that point, but you can't always read what the jury's thinking. And so I think Mike did what he thought was smartest. I was surprised that both sides, both the girls and the guys, were fighting over Mike's vote when the guy should have gone to Carolyn and gotten her on board with voting out Sierra, or the two girls should have gone. They should have left Mike out of the decision making. I don't know why all of a sudden they decided he got to decide everything right there.
Yeah, they really let Mike be in a very powerful decision to be in. Yeah, and I feel like even after the fact, I feel like at the point where Mike then goes and talks to Rodney and Will, and you know, he has that conversation about voting out Sierra, they don't sort of go back and try to talk to the women. Do you think that would have been a good idea for Will and Rodney to go back and tell Sierra and Carolyn, like, hey, just so you know, Mike isn't going to vote with you. He says he's voting with us tonight. So look, we got to vote out Sierra, but stick with us. Or is it just you're just giving ammo to them to then go back to Mike, and then Mike could change his decision and go and vote with you guys?
No, at that point, you have to play every angle, but I don't know why, with everybody being so anti-Mike in the game, why they didn't try harder to work amongst the three instead of including Mike on both sides. Like it's a similar situation to what I had when we take out Hayden, and Sierra was pulling me one direction and Hayden and Caleb were pulling me the other direction. And I was on the chopping block at first, and all of a sudden it disappeared and I was in the power position. And it's the same thing with Mike. They ultimately gave him the power at that point. I mean, in the end, it wouldn't have mattered because he won both immunity challenges. But at the time, you don't know that. And they gave him the power at that point, because all he had to do from then on out, he had to choose the two he thought were most likely to take him to the end.
Tyson, were you surprised when they had a reward challenge here at Final Five, and the reward was a family visit and also an advantage in the next immunity challenge? And both things are interesting to me. The family visit, because it was a solo family visit. And I feel like that is something that they
haven't... The option.
Either they didn't give the option, or there was something that we didn't see. And it's definitely a question I'd love to ask Mike sometime. I'm not sure if we're going to have time in that 15 minutes I have with him tomorrow. But what do you think about that? That Survivor didn't give him the option to give the family visit away. And in some ways, don't you think that helped Mike?
I do think it helped Mike, because it didn't piss those few people off. He didn't have the option to make them upset or to try and please them a little bit. I don't know which way Mike would have gone with that either, though. With everybody so anti-Mike, he might have chose to see his mom anyways.
Yeah. And for Mike, that he gets the family visit and he doesn't have to go ahead and offend anybody either, where somebody is like, you know what, Mike, you're a jerk. You didn't let me have my reward. It's bad enough I didn't go on any rewards this whole season. And now, ultimately, yeah, yeah, that was a very funny moment in the episode, too, when Jeff was giving the birthday cake to Rodney. Very, very, very funny.
Very good.
Yes.
Kudos, Jeff. Yeah, I think it did help Mike to do that, because I really feel like he would have upset somebody in that situation.
Yeah.
And without it being given the option, it made his game a little easier.
Yeah. Okay. So then for Mike, the next decision that he ultimately has to make, he takes out Sierra over Carolyn. Did you like that decision?
From Mike's standpoint, she was the one that was doing the best in challenges. And if his goal was to win out in challenges, that makes sense. As far as strategic and social players, Mama C would have been the way to go.
Yeah.
So I think there's benefits to going either direction. And at that point, you'd kind of just have to go with your gut, because you really don't know what's on the minds of the jury.
Okay. So then we decide to get Sierra out. So we go to the final four, and Mike gets this advantage and he gets to go through the blindfold maze with his mom. Do you think that that was the deciding factor in why Mike won that challenge?
Yeah, as far as why he wanted to win the challenge.
No. Why that he had the 30 minutes.
Why he won that.
Was that the difference?
Yeah, I think that was the difference. You could see him kind of coasting through it a little bit easier than everybody else. I think he probably went through the maze without his blindfold first when he was studying it with his mom, which would have been the smart thing to do. And then after that, blindfold him and see if he could get through it. I think they didn't probably show us him and his mom memorizing the maze.
So do you think that Survivor should do that at Final Five, where they give that advantage? We saw it in San Juan del Sur. Keith ultimately won the advantage where he got to go practice with the marbles, and then he ultimately would go on to win that challenge. So do you like that? Is it almost like getting two wins in one when you win the challenge to get the advantage?
Yeah, I think the advantage is too much. I think for the most part, it's proven to be the deciding factor in the win for that person. I think we've seen Cochran win an advantage. We've seen Keith win an advantage. Mike got that advantage. Everybody who gets the advantage seems to win the following challenge.
Right.
I think it's too close to the end. It's like having the immunity idol, which you can only play at Final Five, and then having this on top of it. It's like a double whammy.
Right. I think you have to go back to Malcolm in Survivor Philippines, who got an advantage at Final Four. And his advantage was that he got a second life in like holding the BBs on the thing. And that was an endurance challenge where ultimately, you know, he was already tired. So a second life didn't really help him that much. But yeah, it does seem like the advantages are a very big advantage.
Yeah, I think if you can find a way to weaken them or use them earlier in the game, I would probably prefer that.
Do you think, Tyson, does it weaken these wins for Mike? Because you didn't have an advantage in winning any of the challenges that you won.
It's in the rules of the game. Everybody gets the option.
Say what you did was better because you didn't have any advantages?
I know you want me to say that. Without advantages, what I did was stronger and better.
and better. Okay, so then we get down to the Final Four, and I thought this was such an absurd scene at the end of the Final Four immunity challenge. So Mike ultimately wins, and then it was like everybody was like a team celebration of the guy that everybody is trying to get out at that point wins immunity, and then everybody is like, Will is like talking about like that, you know, or Rodney is commending Will for what he did, and then they want to all put the necklace around him. I've never seen anything like this on Survivor before.
They all came up with the same idea to suck up to Mike at the same time.
Was that what it was? It strategy? Because that you had people like Will who were never really strategic in the game. Suddenly he's this strategic person. That's where, I mean, he told him the night before at Tribal Council, hey, if you don't win, you're out, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what was so weird, is that it was Will that ultimately put the immunity necklace on Mike. But I think it was all strategy, but it's like it was far too little, far too late. And all it did was kind of look like grasping at straws when they were all, I think what happened is one of them stepped up to be like, Mike, I want to bequeath this immunity idol necklace upon you. And the others were like, oh, I want to get in on that too, so that we all have an equal advantage with Mike now.
Yeah. All right. So probably the most questionable thing that came up, or maybe it wasn't, where Mike wants to go to the end with Carolyn, wants to bring Carolyn in the mix. And for us at home, certainly, it seems like, well, why wouldn't you want to go with Will and Rodney? Aren't those the two guys you want to go in there? And isn't Carolyn the biggest threat to win the game? And Mike tells us that he's like, he doesn't explain the reasoning. Boy, I do think that Rodney might get more votes. Now, when Jeff asks for a show of hands, it looked like three people said they were going to vote for Rodney. So Rodney might have been a bigger jury threat than Carolyn ultimately was. But from what Mike was telling us in the episode, he's saying that he doesn't want Rodney to go to the end because doesn't think Rodney deserves it. Carolyn played a better game. He wants to reward her. He wants to give her the chance to make fire and go to the end. So Tyson, what do you think of this decision on Mike's part to send Carolyn into the fire making challenge with Rodney?
It's definitely funner to watch. You know, I think part of it probably was Mike wanted the entertainment value of watching people make fire. It's interesting.
Do you really think that that was what he thought it would be fun to watch?
Oh, yeah. Part of it. I think part of it, definitely. And then he just wanted to stick to his word for some reason. Probably wasn't too stoked on Rodney. And so that played into it as much as anything. But I probably would have taken Rodney to the end, but I did have a deal with Jerv, and it's a smart plan where if you have a solid two and you get that far, you say, hey, look, worst case scenario, one of us is making fire to get in the finals and the other one's going to be there.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was a deal that maybe him and Carolyn had earlier that we didn't get to see or what it was, but my vote would be Mike thought it would be entertaining to have something like that at the finale, and he didn't want Rodney to get that far in the game because he just disliked Rodney.
But shouldn't he be trying to think about what gives me the best chance to win the game? Shouldn't that trump everything else?
It should, but after 38, 39 days of starving, you're not always thinking super straight.
Okay.
So and people make moves like that all the time. You know, Wu did that, and it ended up biting him in the butt.
Two-time Survivor player, Wu.
What? Yeah.
Two-time Survivor player.
Second chancer.
Yeah, there he goes.
Yeah. He took Tony to the end to stick with his word or to do the honorable thing, and he lost $1 million.
So Mike was like, hey, if I take Carolyn to the end and I lose to her, I'll get a second chance no matter what?
I don't think that's what he was thinking.
He's
but
like, hey, it worked for Colby. It worked for Wu.
He thought he was unbeatable. I think he thought he was unbeatable enough, had enough confidence that it probably wasn't going to matter too much. And maybe there's this misconception, especially amongst first-time players, where doing the honorable thing wins you jury votes. And that usually isn't the case.
Yeah. Okay, so then we ultimately get to the final three of Carolyn. Oh, well, you want to talk about that fire-making challenge?
That was the most infuriating part of the whole show for me. They're all doing it wrong. Rob, here's for all the people who want to go out and play Survivor.
Okay, tell me, because I need to know.
Okay, should I grab a knife real quick?
Okay, so Tyson is going to grab a knife.
I have the knife. I have the flint. So here's what we're going to do. Most people take the flint and they hack at it.
Okay, so just explain what you're doing because people are listening on the audio also.
Okay, so you don't hack at the flint with the knife. You hold the knife still and you drag the flint along the underside of it.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Then you create flint, the flakes of magnesium.
Right.
And then to create your spark, you put the knife up on top of the magnesium and the same thing. You hold the knife still and move the flint.
Got it.
That way you can keep the focus of the spark directly where you want it. When you're hacking at the flint, it shoots everywhere and your hands are all off and stuff. It's all about holding the knife steady and rubbing the flint against the knife.
Do you think that also in this final four challenge, which we see this time and time again, people really struggle with it. Are you just so nervous that your hands just become like soaking wet with sweat? We saw Rodney lost a challenge earlier this season because his hands got too sweaty when he was holding onto the thing that Monica won in your season. Do you think that that's a factor also?
You could see their nerves. Definitely. You could see him shaking and struggling and being fidgety, but with the way they were hacking, I don't think either of them had really learned how to start fire with a knife and flint. And you start a fire once on Survivor, and if you can put enough wood on it, you never have to start it again. So who knows who started the fire day one, and people kept it going, so nobody got any practice.
Okay.
I'm just glad it didn't go to matches.
Yes, that's always embarrassing when it goes to matches.
I think also that hurt Carolyn's game.
Yes, well, that's what I want to ask you. So some people have said that what Mike did was brilliant because it made Rodney and Carolyn both look really bad in front of the jury.
But he didn't know that for certain.
Yes.
And so I don't think that was on his mind, but I think it played into his hands at the end. And I think it's bad. If you are going to go on Survivor, one of the things you should know how to do is to start a fire that way. It's one of the few things you should really know how to do.
Yeah. Okay. So then we go ahead to get to the final tribal council. And I thought this was such an odd final tribal council too, Tyson. We didn't have any opening statements from the final three.
Yep.
And yeah. I'm sure they did them, and I think they just got cut. And then it was very few questions were asked in this final tribal council.
Yeah, it was odd, and it was also pretty balanced. Like, people were upset at Mike, and people were upset at Carolyn, and more people were upset at Will, but everybody also got some applause or some kudos from the jury members. I feel like Mike stuck his foot in his mouth, actually, when Tyler asked him about his social game, mm-hmm. and he said he just wasn't very good at that. I really thought that he was going to lose the game at that point.
Yeah. It would be hard to say that Mike was amazing in the final tribal council.
Yeah, he definitely botched it, but then enough people gave him props following that, that I think it, I think if they would have ended with that, with him being like, yeah, you know what? I'm not very good socially, I guess, when you put it that way. You have to always build yourself up in those circumstances. Like, he should have given instances where he was socially dominant.
Yeah.
He didn't do that.
No, you were very good in the Final Tribal Council.
Thank you. Yeah. I've tried 3 times, not at the Final Tribal Council.
You've been there one time. Yeah. And so I thought all three of them, I thought they were all fine in the Final Tribal Council. Nobody was great and nobody was terrible.
Yeah. Nobody was absolutely terrible, but definitely room for improvement on all of them.
Room for improvement there. But then there was a couple of people that went up there and had sort of memorable appearances. First, let's start with Dan, who went after Mike. Boy, this Dan can really be a broken record sometimes, right?
I think all the times. He's the guy that when you're at a party, he finds you and he follows you and talks at you nonstop, even when he realizes you don't want to listen to him anymore.
Well, this is perfect timing because I'm about to be at a party with him in about an hour and 20 minutes. About to see him.
Get ready. Will you periscope it out for
him? If Dan wants to talk to me tonight, if I see him at when I go out tonight, I'll say, Dan, do you mind if I just periscope this? Because people are going to want to believe, see this. And he's like, no, this is off the record.
Yeah, this is off the record. I hate women.
Maybe I could just like wear a wire and then just be like secretly periscoping in that. And then he could say, and then he's like, I never said that to you. Like, well, Dan, let's go to the tape because I actually have the tape of when you just said that my mother's a whore and we weren't doing yo mama jokes. No, so Dan, but what do you think about the Dan and Mike thing? Did Dan ultimately, do you feel like he did forgive Mike in that moment?
Yeah, because I think Dan's stupid enough.
Did he vote for Mike in the final? They didn't give us the vote reveal.
They didn't give us the vote. I feel like he did because I feel like Dan's the type of guy that wants you to think he's the bigger man.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he is the bigger man, but he's the guy that's
great.
Like,
now you have to say bigger man. Thanks a lot, Tyson. Thanks a lot. Oh, another fat joke.
Yeah, exactly. But then he'd be like, I am the bigger man. And this proves time and time again that I've stood by my word.
I've got two speeds, Tyson. I wake up or I'm asleep. Okay? What?
I was surprised that the audience didn't give him more grief.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
And Will's apology was pretty subpar too to Shireen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I'm sorry that you got just upset with me, but...
Yeah.
Those classic butts, dude.
Yeah, with the butts and the howevers, and then Shireen didn't accept the apology. Like, if I was going to coach people in the Survivor reunion show, that I think I would say, like, if Jeff offers you an opportunity to apologize, accept it. Take that opportunity. Apologize. And if Jeff asks you, Tyson, all right, Rob just apologized. Do you accept his apology?
I don't think we'd ever be in a situation where you'd need to apologize.
Right.
To
but I that the Will and Shireen thing is a little there. I don't want to say that Shireen needs to forgive Will or anything like that, but
on TV,
if Jeff offers you the opportunity to accept the apology, you should probably take it. Even if in your heart of hearts, you don't really take it because the crowd doesn't really know how to react then.
Yeah. Cause the crowd's like, I don't know.
This is awkward.
Right.
That's what the audience, the live show audience, I think the people at home, they want to see somebody apologize and they want to see the other person accept the apology, you know, shake hands and hey, we fought, but in the end, in the reunion, we left it all out there and it's fine now.
The Survivor experience trumps all.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Blood versus Water, you guys had a good reunion show where everybody got, you know, came together and got along at the end.
Yeah, and it's hard because in the moments of the game, you do, you know, you get upset, you hold grudges, people say things out of emotion or out of gameplay, and then people still harbor that sometimes for months and months or years and years. And I think if you have a cast that can just say, you know what, it is a game at the end of the day, and it sometimes only takes a few people to say that, and it kind of gets around, but it seems like Shireen and Will probably never going to be besties.
No, I don't think so. And you know, I felt like Will was saying mostly the right things there, but then his wife was like screaming out from the audience like he was a contestant on The Price is Right. And trying to get him to give a different answer. And he's like, no, honey, let's leave that alone. And she was like going after Shireen.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It was confusing. It was a little, I think that part was confusing for me.
Will and Monifa for Blood versus Water 3, Tyson?
I don't know if we're going to see stellar gameplay from either of them, but definitely some emotional outbursts.
Some roller coasters of emotion. Okay. Let's talk about Shireen in the final Tribal Council, because I don't know if anybody had a stopwatch. I want to say this might have been one of the top three longest jury speeches of all time.
Yeah, why'd they give her so much? Because she did an okay jury speech with the animal stuff, and then she paid homage to historic survivors, or what was going on?
It seems like she gave like three different speeches.
Yeah, three different speeches. And it was, yeah, because she at first gave kudos to Mike, and then she said, but I'm maybe not voting for you because I might vote for Carolyn.
Yeah. It really was very wild that she went through the whole thing about how Mike saved her, and we retold that story. And for us, I think from, you know, hearing her interviews and everything, we've heard the story a bunch of times now. But then she talked about how that she made her first million when she was 25, which I think everybody in that green room just,
get her out first. No guilt.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, because I really do think now ultimately there were five people in the mix from season 30. And we talked about, the dirty 30, that's going to be a block. The good news for them is only Shireen and Joe make it. So there is not going to be a big target of, if Shireen and Joe get together, that's going to, watch out for that. You know, there's other seasons, including, seasons like Survivor Kagiyan, there's four people. There's other seasons that have more than two from it. Or is there any other season that also has two? Blood versus Water. Blood versus Water 2 got three people on. So that's not even the season with the most people, season 30. But between Jeff, like going to Joe in the first act break of the reunion and talking about, the Joe hype, Jeff didn't do him any favors tonight.
Nope.
And this didn't do Shireen a lot of favors all of this time on the final Tribal Council jury.
No, not at all. Do you want to? I predict she goes first. I think in Second Chance, Survivor Second Chance, Shireen is out first.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be that we've got all summer to talk about it, but your mind is racing tonight. It's very exciting. Great. It's very exciting. Somewhere on that bus, people are having a crazy time right now, and it's probably the most fun and the least fun thing you could be doing right now is just sitting on a bus with 20 people going out to Survivor Second Chance.
Not allowed to talk. They're on lockdown.
Oh, you think it's a lockdown on the party bus?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Not allowed to talk. You can't talk unless there's cameras there.
Wow. You know, when we were on our way, though, to Survivor All-Stars, they didn't have us really in lockdown when we were traveling from, Miami to going down to Panama.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because Heroes, Villains and Blood versus Water, they had us on complete lockdown the whole time.
I think it really probably just depends on the handler. Like, I think how much of a stickler they are. I bet you're right. I bet they are on lockdown. We were in groups of six and they really were just like, okay, guys, come on, guys.
That's kind of how just it was. Cool, and guys, as long as it wasn't like Alliance
game talk, right.
It was fine.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Shireen, then she went into talking about what animal everybody was like. Tyson, you're a big nature fan. What did you think about those comparisons? Mike is the howler monkey, Carolyn is the stingray, and Will is the dead fish.
I think she did well with the animal she had. Howler monkey, you could tell Mike wasn't super stoked on it, but he took it after she explained it to him. I think a jaguar would have been a way cooler animal to be.
I was a little afraid when Shireen started talking about you, Mike, you're like the howler monkey, because I thought, we've seen Shireen, how she feels about the howler monkeys having sex.
She likes to peeping Tom on him.
Yes. Mike, you're like the howler monkey, because I would love to watch you. No, that was not where she was going with
Very
that. Very voyeuristic. Okay. Carolyn is the stingray. I'm surprised that she had so much praise for Carolyn.
Yeah. She liked Carolyn, it seemed. And the stingray was a good comparison too, And then the dead fish was obviously the most hilarious.
Yes. And Will is the dead fish. What'd you think of that comparison?
I don't think Will liked it very much.
No, but he took it pretty well. He didn't like say, you know what? You're the dead fish.
Yeah. You guys are the dead fish because I'm here and you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
He just kind of shrugged it off and stuff.
You're the dead fish.
Sharin obviously has a feud with Will. And so it was understanding that that's where she went with it. And it was kind of interesting. And her explanation for it was fitting enough that it wasn't too terrible.
Yeah. And then she ultimately ended up going back and doing Sue Hawk shout outs.
The what?
The Sue. She was doing Sue Hawk from the first Survivor Tribal Council.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get a single shout out this whole season, I don't think.
Yeah. No, none of these survivors did tributes to you.
Not a one.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she did the Sue Hawk. And I think if you can bring it back to someone classic like Sue Hawk, I think it's definitely going to make air. And, she gave it the shout out and it went.
Yeah. Okay. So we end up going to the votes. Also, Jen, she does the half Murphy. We call it that because David Murphy famously stood up and said, hey, vote for Boston Rob. He's the best. And since then, we talk about that a lot. Did anybody give you the half Murphy?
Vetus kind of did.
But then he didn't vote for you?
But he didn't vote for me, but he told me I played one hell of a game and that I did an awesome job and all this stuff. And then the other people that David Murphy'd me were Jervis and Monica when they had the opportunity to pitch who should be the winner out of the other two if they couldn't be.
Yeah. And then you said Monica should win, not even Jervis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. You got Tyson there, Jervis.
Is that what that's called now?
I don't know. All right. Let's go to, we go to live to the final tribal council, and Jeff was there. And interesting start to the reunion show. The votes ended up coming up Mike, Will, Carolyn, and then Mike. So how about this? Will Sims 2. More jury votes than Stephen Fishback.
That's got to sting for Stephen.
Yeah, but on a night like this, he can accept it. I will play for...
I feel like on tonight, maybe Stephen actually got more votes than Will.
Yes, it was actually close. Stephen and I, a long time ago this season, we had made a bet right around the merge. Who would be the winner this season? Stephen said it would be a blue collar. I said that it would be a no collar person. Steven, ultimately, what a night for Steven. He not only goes back onto Survivor, but he also becomes the knowingest know-it-all.
Steven's the best know-it-all. Turns out Rob isn't that good at all. Steven's the best know-it-all. Picking Muffin was a real lousy call, because Steven's the best know-it-all. Cutting second place is way better than third place anyway, if you think about it.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so congratulations to Steven, the best.
No, Rob should have never made that call.
So hold on. So you had on your phone, you have a video recorded from Stephen Fishback?
Stephen Fishback sent me a recording before he left and said, please play this on Know It All.
Wait, play that again. Play it again.
Steven's the best. Know It All. Rob should have never made that call.
You want to hear it one more time?
Yes.
Steven's the best. Know It All. Rob should have never made that call.
Good job, Steven.
He said that to me and he said, will you please play this if I'm unable to?
Yes.
And I said I would. And I asked if it was a surprise. I've been sitting on it for weeks here, Rob.
Well, I told Steven that the best part of him going back on Survivor would be I don't have to hear him gloat all summer. So I'm very excited. But that he had to get me. He had to, from beyond the grave. He's haunting me.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Can I send that to you so you can play it all the time?
Well, yeah, maybe we can put it on the soundboard. Okay. So, all right. So then Mike ends up being the winner. And then it was a very abbreviated reunion because we had to get to all the second chance stuff. And then so much time was absorbed by the Dan and Will stuff, which we touched on earlier. But Jeff really, he asks like a couple questions to Mike and then bounces around. Carolyn, you disappointed to not be there. And then he goes right to Joe, pretty much.
Yeah, it's, you always want to hear from Vince, if you can.
Mm-hmm. But this might be the reunion show where I think we heard from the least people from the current, like, if we were just going to chart it, the number of people we heard from Mike, Carolyn, Will, Dan, Shireen, Joe. Did anybody else talk in the reunion show?
Rodney did a little bit.
Rodney. That's right. So seven out of the, so many people. I don't think Tyler spoke at the reunion. No Sierra.
There you are.
Yes. So it was really a very small number, like less than half the cast even got to speak at the reunion show.
Yeah. And Dan took way too much time. And yeah. I think that's selfish of people to do that.
Dan took up a lot of time, but I also felt like the show devoted a lot of time to him. What did you think of Jeff? Basically, you know, Dan had been saying in interviews on my show and a number of other places, you know, the show did me dirty, that he was talking about how they took things out of context. And then they show a very, like, almost like a 2-minute clip, it felt like, of camp life. And it was actually very interesting to see, because we've never really seen that shot on the TV show of, like, all of the very familiar shot of, like, you saw, like, production people in tripods and stuff like that. So we're familiar with that perspective of it. But for the TV viewer, I feel like that must have been pretty shocking.
Yeah, I think that was probably an interesting perspective. And I think that you probably have to piss Jeff Probst or Survivor or CBS off pretty good to get them to retaliate like that.
Yeah. And I think that Dan probably did that. And Jeff talked about how they would have Dan back. And I did not find that to be a sincere thing that Jeff was saying about bringing Dan back. I feel like Dan will never play Survivor again.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The second Jeff came at him, I looked over at Rachel and I said, Dan will never be on this show again.
I did think that Jeff was being a little unfair about Dan's t-shirt of the male escort.
Yeah, I also feel they set him up probably for it.
Yeah, they said, oh, could you wear this shirt that we picked out for you tonight?
Yeah, like, wear something that reflects your personality, like your sense of humor.
Yes, that's good. All right, you want to get into taking some questions here tonight, Tyson?
Let's do some questions. How am I doing so far? Am I doing a
Steven-esque
job?
You're doing a Steven-esque job that, you know, we're used to on the Spice and Hour, which we talk to Tyson every week. Tyson and Spencer Pratt, we talk every Sunday. We record that show. You can hear that on robiswebsite.com as well. Usually on Mondays, we go off and talk about a lot of tangents. So it's hard to sort of like stay focused on reporting on this event tonight.
Yeah, but I've done pretty good.
You've done well. We've stayed the course. Okay.
Hell yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's start off with Ryan Noakes. And he says, how about Rodney getting possibly 3 votes? If he approached Carolyn and voted Will out, he could have won the game.
I don't think that the 3 votes, some of them seemed pretty hesitant when they raised their hands. And I feel like Rodney probably would have been the one to stick his foot in his mouth at the final tribal council.
Yeah. Tyson, we talk about this with Steven a lot. What is canon and what is not considered canon? Steven says that exit interviews can't be considered canon. There's revisionist history. How do you feel about the moment at the tribal council, final tribal council reunion show, where Jeff is like, all right, so let's switch it around. All right, Tyson's not there. Okay, Vetus is in the final 3 with Jervis and Monica. What would you do? Like stuff like that. Do you take those with a grain of salt?
Definitely, because it's slighted, because people will see Rodney and they look at him now as a guy who also got. So he's one of them, and that plays an advantage. He's not the guy who got everybody.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. And then also going to the final tribal council and being able to plead your case also goes a long way. So I don't think that's a fair question to ask. And I think for the most part, people get more votes than they would truly if they were still in the game on that, at that final tribal council.
You know, we haven't touched on it yet. What'd you think of Rodney's suit?
He did one fashion faux pas. He didn't unbutton when he sat down.
So he's got to unbutton that. I always feel like the blazer, it's too much for the, you know, Survivor reunion show.
It looks sharp. And I think if you want to stand out and if that's your character, then go with it. If it's not, then like Jervis wore a full suit on ours and I thought he looked really great. And, I wore a tuxedo shirt and I got a little flack for it. So, you know, I think you just kind of got to go with what you feel comfortable.
Yeah, but I felt like that was probably more in line with your personality than for Jervis to be wearing a suit. That just seemed like I am the last person should be giving anybody fashion advice. But if I was going to be dressing people for the finale, I think you want to sort of look like more business casual than like you're going to a party more so than you're going to like a wedding.
Yeah, but maybe Rodney has super sweaty armpits.
That's possible. That's possible. Steven with the blazer and the shirt. If you're going to do that, I think Steven had it right to go blazer, shirt, no tie.
Steven has some really nice blazers. He came to Utah to marry Rachel and I. It was crazy. I was pretty jelly, and I don't wear blazers almost ever.
Good blazer game on Steven Fishback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great blazer game.
All right. Jack Journey says, how many alliances will be formed on the bus? Tyson says zero.
Zero. Yeah. You can't. They're on lockdown. They're on complete lockdown now, I would say. They're probably, I don't think they're boarding a flight tonight. I bet they're going to a hotel. And they're locked in their rooms with room service.
It's been a long day for everybody. I think that they're going to go back to the hotel tonight and if anything, leave tomorrow or Friday. Yeah.
Their phones have already been confiscated, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You can have like dummy phone or you can use the hotel phone to call people, but you don't know what room everybody's in and you don't want to get in trouble at this point because they may take some people out there as, what do you call it? The guys who fill ins.
Alternates?
Alternates, yeah. They might have some alternates. We don't know.
That would be pretty wild. So you think that the disappointed dozen, you think that they're alternates right now?
I think maybe one or two of them are, maybe a male and a female.
Do you think that they will be releasing the disappointed dozen tonight, or do you think that they're going to stay in lockdown as well? And it's really an 11. Mike is not disappointed tonight.
I bet they have them at a different airport, at a different hotel.
Okay. So they're at a different hotel than the Survivor cast.
Yeah. And I don't think they're on lockdown.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I'm sure that people in the chat room could tell us. This is from Bavia Johnny, who says, who do you think was the replacement for Mike when he won? I'm thinking it was Wu. Who do you think was 11th in the polling if Mike was in the top 10?
Yeah, I can see Wu. It's hard because I don't really think any of those men are too disappointing. Like, none of them are real shocking. Wu's probably the most shocking, but even still with the casual
But he was only on the show a year ago. A year ago, you know, he was right in people's faces.
And he was super likable to the casual viewer. And to us, I mean, he was likable. He wasn't a strategist by any means, but he was a good guy. And so, yeah, it probably was Wu, but I don't think Wu had... he probably wasn't so far under the 10th place person.
Yeah. For me... if you were going to give me one guy who's out there to be sort of comic relief and not a strategist, I already had Keith Nail. I was already on board with Keith Nail. I didn't need Keith Nail and Wu.
Yeah. Keith Nail is probably better comic relief because he does it so unassumingly, whereas I think Wu probably strives for that.
Right. You needed Shane out there. You needed Shane.
Shane. I know. You did need Shane.
People screwed that up. People screwed that one up.
Actually, it would have been really great to see Shane and Brad Culpepper together.
Yeah, maybe they could just do a web series together. Could they do like Ponderosa videos? Like, could we do Ponderosa? How great would the Ponderosa videos be? Shane Powers, Jim Rice, Brad Culpepper, Troy Zan, and Max Dawson.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think doesn't Jim Rice get pretty bitter?
Yeah.
And Shane. Jim Rice and Shane get bitter, but... Brad gets angry, but he pretends not to care. And then Max Dawson, I don't think Max Dawson was super upset. I mean, he was disappointed, but I don't think he was mad at anybody in the game for what happened to him.
Probably not. Okay, let's keep going. This is from Mark Stabation. Abby Maria and Cass hugging made me happy. I love it when villains like each other, but for how long?
Yeah, I think you have to hug in that moment.
Yeah.
The odder one to me was when Tasha jumped up and like, cheered a bunch as the guy sitting next to her, Troy Zan, was told no.
Yeah. Also, I felt like there was a couple of moments where people like wanted to like bro hug Jeff Probst, and he kind of didn't want to do that. He was kind of like, okay, go up on stage.
He's not a hugger.
Yeah, like Andrew Savage like really went in to like give the hug, and Jeff was sort of like, gotta keep moving. moving the show along.
Part of it is, aren't Andrew Savage and Jeff Probst, weren't they really good friends at some point in their lives?
I think that they probably still are good friends.
Yeah, and so I think Andrew Savage was probably like, my friend who's the host of this show is having me back, and we are both stoked that I'm back. And Jeff maybe in that moment was like, you're just putting a target on your back if you hug me and I bro out with you here.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do it, Savage. Okay.
You can't bro out with anybody like that.
Right. Okay. Dahlia Allah says, do you think Survivor should have let contestants in the fire building challenge get a new flint? Yeah, what was going on with the flint exchange?
The thing is you could tell nobody was going to get it. And so you have to, because they both broke their flint. Then what are they going to do? And the reason they broke their flint is because they chopped at it instead of doing the slide maneuver, holding the knife steady and sliding the flint across the blade.
Yeah.
You don't break flint that way. You could keep flint for 5 years and start a fire every single day if you do it my way.
If you do it Tyson's way.
The Tyson's way.
The TA rules on should flint.
Should I do a YouTube video of me starting a fire the Tyson way?
Sure, I guess so.
Well, I don't have to. It didn't seem like you were very excited.
Maybe. I mean, you should have done it like a week ago for the second chance. People could have watched it.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you make the video and send it to Steven to pay him back for the video he sent you?
No, but he asked me about how to start fire on token chains, and I showed him how to do it. And then he did start some fires. He never was as good as me, but he could do it.
Yeah. Okay.
He would have won that challenge. No problem.
All right. Let's take a few more questions. This is from Cupcake Leah. How does Jen's half Murphy compare to previous half Murphys? We've seen the half Murphy a number of times over the years. Spencer famously did it with Tony. Last season, Jeremy did it for Natalie. Didn't do it fantastic. Here was Jen tonight. I thought Jen did a pretty good job tonight.
She did a good job in not being so blatantly. I mean, she was, but at the same time, she kind of left it a little more open-ended or a little more unbiased.
Yeah.
It wasn't just so blatant, like Mike is the guy. It's like vote for the guy you think did everything the best.
Yeah. I thought that it was good because it was so unexpected from her.
Yeah. She does stuff like that. And the reason it's so unexpected is because she does so many other things that are disappointing.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying, Rob?
No, it's just like you didn't expect her to be so about the game. Like you feel like that she would have been like going up there and being like just vote for whatever. Like, let's get this over with so we can go drink.
Not as white collar as she wants us to think, Rob. I've said that already this season.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right. Let's do a few more questions here with Tyson. Nicholas Harmon says, is this the first time in Survivor history that we haven't seen opening statements at Final Tribal Council? Tyson, they used to let you do closing statements.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Have they not done? Oh, they used to do closing statements and not opening statements.
They used to do both. And now they've cut the opening statements.
I feel like they probably did, but they might not have been great
I think they cut them for time. They kind of let Joe have the opening statement.
Yeah. Cause I remember doing them both, and you kind of just reiterate both things. You say your opening statement, and then at the end, you take all the good things people said about you and jam those into your final closing statement.
Yeah. Okay. Legacy Killing Gaming says, Rob, would you consider this season one of the best Survivor seasons ever? Boy, so much was made before the season started, Tyson. Jeff Probst said, I'm telling you, this cast, this season, boy, this is one of the best seasons we've ever had. Tyson, were you impressed?
I liked it. One of the best Survivor seasons ever. I don't know. I think you could tell from a long way out that Mike was probably going to win.
Yeah.
And winning challenges in the end, while it's the thing to do if you're fighting to win Survivor, it's anticlimactic for the viewer.
Okay.
I think every Survivor season probably has its merits, and I don't think this is the best ever. I don't think one of the best ever, top 10, top 15, surely, but top 3, probably not.
We're too close to it right now. For me, yeah. I would not say that this is one of my all-time most favorite Survivor seasons. And as much as there are people in the cast that, you know, I really do like, I feel like there was so much negativity with all the stuff with the Will and Shireen thing. That was a major buzzkill about this season. And you really just kind of felt like Mike had this thing in the bag for a while now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and the negativity thing. I think that for some reason, I feel like people who are in positions of power think that people at home want to see all the negative drama. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think maybe something more lighthearted or funny is maybe more.
When you say positions of power, you mean people like at CBS?
Yeah, at editing and I don't know because I haven't seen all the reports, but I feel like from the shows I've been around, the negativity, maybe it's people are talking about it. So either way, it's good.
Okay.
But I feel like people for the most part dislike it and will say so when it happens.
Okay, let's do a few more questions. Liz Hersey wants to say, who came off looking worse, Dan or Will? I don't think that Will came off that bad in the finale.
Really? I think his apology was so but and however.
But how could he be worse than Dan?
You have a point. Yeah. Dan, there's just something about Dan, just the way he carries himself is just offensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Will's wife.
I don't know. She didn't come off great either. You know, you can't be shouting at the contestants from the audience. You can't do this. This isn't a wrestling match. You can't do that either. I mean, for Dan, it really came down to, you know, his strategy really just needed to be tonight. You know, like, boy, Jeff, I said some dumb things out there. You know, I really shouldn't have said what I said. And I was wrong. But the problem for Dan is that you have to say that in the exit interview. And when you do your exit press, you can't come out and say one thing and then retract it a week later on the reunion show.
Yeah, it doesn't go well for you. And had he done that all in the exit press, we wouldn't have even got to see him look like an idiot on TV.
Yeah. And he was the same way. You know, he was confrontational with me, with Dalton Ross, with Steve Helling, with Josh Wiggler, with Gordon Holmes. Everybody, like, boom, 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 down the line. He was just like, you know, came out swinging with everybody.
Yeah, he seems like a real pompous ass.
He certainly has that side to his personality. We don't know the man. We don't know how he is not considering this, and he was fired up.
I don't know if I want to know him, honestly.
Yeah. I bet you would like that male escort shirt, though, right?
Nah. No. I don't like shirts like that so much.
You don't like puns that much?
I like puns a lot, but I don't like shirts with puns on them.
That's fair. I don't think I have any. Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that I would not be excited to talk to, just the way he carries himself and his matter of fact attitude about everything.
Yeah.
He has that like amateur philosopher style of delivery. That's really irritating.
I certainly can hear that. What do you think of his quote during the episode? Get wood during the fire making challenge.
I try to tune him out as best I can. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that
people,
up. Rob.
People have, because they captioned it also. So I've seen people like sending that picture out of like Dan, like just all like intense, like get wood.
What about him banging his head against the pulpit when he's going for the vote? And it's just like, I think in the moment, he's just like, what do people want to see on TV? They want to see Dan doing something cool and memorable.
Well, he's just kind of a ham. Like, he's always like, you know, chewing up the scenery. Also, when he's like, Jeff, can I come back out there for this? Like, has that ever happened before in a Final Tribal Council where somebody has to come back out for a curtain call and more question time?
I don't think so. And just all his faces the whole time where he's just like shaking his head. It just shows that he doesn't really understand the game of Survivor.
Yeah.
Almost at all.
Just another super fan that can't count or know how the game works. Okay. So this is from Spicy Wasabi. So challenge wins counts more than social and strategy. Okay, this is somebody that wants to know, why didn't Carolyn win, Tyson?
She was a little too under the radar, and I really don't feel she was personable enough with the people as she voted them out. It wasn't like she was any better friends with these people than Mike was.
Yeah. For Carolyn, I just feel like that she wasn't going to beat Mike under any circumstances.
I mean, I think she could have if her game would have been different.
Yeah.
If she were better friends, if she built tighter bonds with the people on the jury, it was all just business. And you have to have some personal vibe with people in order to really make a connection with them.
Yeah. We got to see who voted for who. But I said all along, I felt like the no collars were going to be the kingmakers in this Final Tribal Council, where I felt like it was going to be Joe, Haley, Jen, and Shireen were going to be a block. And Mike had them. I felt like there was nobody that was going to be able to win them over more than Mike. And if Mike was still on the board, that was the thing for me with Carolyn, where it was like, if that the fact that she made her big move to get rid of Tyler, it was almost in some ways she got rid of one person that could have potentially beat Mike. And I think that was a mistake for her.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been. It's just hard to know. You know, you don't know, and you have to make those moves that you think are best for you in the moment. Like, getting rid of Ara so early like I did could have definitely backfired on me huge, but it just worked out. And that's the same with Carolyn. Like,
yes,
she doesn't know when she's going to get another opportunity, and she still has Mike and Tyler in the game, and she has to get rid of both of them within four moves of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, 50% of her moves have to be Mike or Tyler in order for her strategy to work out. So it's just, I don't think there was a way that she could. I think she made the right call in getting Tyler out, but she could never get Mike out because he just won out the whole rest of the way through.
And Tyson, at the time, I said that that was too early for you to get rid of Aris, and all the more evidence that why Steven is the knowingest know-it-all.
Turns out love isn't that good at all.
Yes, that's right. Well, we knew that. We knew that. All right, let's do two more questions here with Tyson here on finale night. This is from Kim Von Garrick. Robin Tyson, where do you feel Mike ranks in the all-time winners list? What do you feel like his definitive moves on the season were except winning immunities? Okay, well, as far as where he goes on the list, that's going to be part. That's going to be something I'll discuss more in the Evolution of Strategy Volume 3, where I am going through and ranking winners, but we are not up to that yet. All right, in terms of Mike's biggest moves in the game, I think that going back to getting Joe out, that was a huge move.
Yeah, and I think that was the right move. It was one that some probably said was too early.
Again, guilty as charged.
But it worked out, and that's the thing. In the moment, you have to, like, you don't always know when is going to be too early and when's going to be too late, but you know what? It's better too early than too late, because too late and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
I feel like the auction thing, if he would have stuck with it, would have been probably his best move, other than winning out all the way to the end.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if that would have painted a bigger, I don't know how he could have had a bigger target on his back, but I think that he was right in that he made that move. He got the target and he didn't ultimately get the thing that he got the target on his back for.
Yeah. Cause he kind of backpedaled.
Yeah.
He should have either gone with it or not at all, instead of the half, like thinking about it and letting everyone know his intentions and then switching it up.
Yeah. We talked about it at the time. It was like the thing of, like, he walked into the bank and was like, I have a gun. And like, nope, I'm going to put it away now. I'm just going I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take that gun out in this bank. I'd like to make a transaction. No.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, in hindsight, obviously that didn't hurt him either way, but I think that would have shown that he was playing really hard, although it did burn a lot of bridges.
Yeah.
I feel like the bridges were already halfway burned because everybody already put a huge target on his back for him being good at challenges and being strategic all the time. So maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back, that move.
Yeah.
But I think he was on his way to being on the outs anyways.
Okay. Well, let's do one more question here. Jerm Martin, which award will Tyson give tonight and who gets it? Do you have a aposty?
An aposty?
Yes.
Does Steve always give his fishies on here?
Yes. Well, he tells us who he gave the fishy to.
Okay. You know, obviously Mike won the game, so that deserves some kudos. Probably Jen, because I feel like her speech probably was the one that really cemented Mike's win, made it more certain than anybody else.
Yeah. Let's see. I would say let's give the fishy. You have to give it to Mike because he's the winner of the game. And I'll say let's give the fishy to the voters who got it mostly right. They sent Stephen Fish back to Survivor. And for the most part, you know, I'm gonna say it wasn't us. We voted for Shane. We voted for T-Bird. Everything else they pretty much got right for the most part. And I'll give the award to you guys who really campaigned and worked and voted and tried to get this as right as we could.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
Okay. We ended up talking to 18 of the 20 second chance people on this podcast. So that's also very exciting to see that 18 of these 20 people we did interviews with before they go out. The only two that we didn't speak to were Joe and Wu.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't do something with you.
Well, they didn't need to. They knew they had this thing in the bag,
bro.
Yeah. They had it on lock. Okay. Tyson, thank you so much for doing this with us tonight. It was great to talk to you, get your winner insight into Mike's game and the finale here of Survivor 30. Of course, you can follow Tyson on Twitter. He's at Tyson Apostle. And Tyson, what else are you on?
I'm on Instagram, same name. I have a Facebook fan page that I'm also verified on. I'm very proud
of
that.
Whoa, look at you.
Yeah, I'll answer questions anywhere. Anywhere you post them, if it's a good question, I'll answer it. People have been trying to convince me to do an AMA on Reddit.
Yeah, would you do that? That seems like that's the in thing to do right now.
Yeah, I wish I would have done it before it was the in thing. I've had people contact me over the years to do it, and I'm getting closer and closer. I will eventually do it, although I don't know when. What else am I on? I signed up for Pinterest, but I don't know how to use it.
Yeah, you don't need to be on there.
Yeah, I'm on it for Rachel, but then I kind of like, bleh. And I'm on Vine. I'm on Snapchat. I'm on every social media that matters.
Everyone that matters. All right, there he is. He's at Tyson Apostle. We are going to be back with our voicemail recap of the season, hearing what you guys have to say about the finale and, of course, of season 31. That's going to be myself and Josh Wigler. Tomorrow, we're going to be recording that. So send your voicemails in, robs@website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. If you want to send voicemails in for the Spicin Hour, also, you could use our link, robs@website.com/Spicin voicemail for our voicemail inbox for the Spicin Hour, which we record every weekend. If you have a question for Tyson and Spencer as well. Also, I will have the exit interviews with the final five players from this season. That's going to be up tomorrow as well. And then, of course, leading all the way up to the Evolution of Strategy Volume 2, which is dropping Chapter 11, Guatemala is coming. It finished putting the touches on that. It's about 8 hours long, talking about Survivor Guatemala. That is going to be out on Friday. More to come on that on my conversation with Josh Wigler tomorrow. Tyson, where did you go?
I had to go to the bathroom. I drank way too much Diet Coke while I was watching the show.
The show's about to end.
This show?
Yeah.
I could tell you were on a streak, and I've been holding it for like the last 20 minutes, dude.
Yes. Okay. That's right. Well, good job holding it in. Of course, we will talk with Tyson this weekend on the Spicin Hour. You can check that out. Tyson, is there anything else you want to tell people about? How's Rachel doing? Give us the update.
Rachel's doing great. Do you want to show off your belly, Rachel? She's right here.
I'm doing good, but it's coming soon. I'm about to pop, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What about a month away?
Month away. That's the tummy.
Okay.
And other than that, no, I don't think I have anything else that, the Spicin Hour is the best thing I got going on in my life right now. Besides the baby.
Yeah, we got to add that in.
Oh, all right. Man. I'm getting new pet jellyfish too. That's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very, very exciting stuff. All right. Well, Tyson, great job. Thank you so much, Scott, behind the scenes. So that's going to do it for me here tonight. Great season, everybody. Thank you so much for your support all season long. Greatly appreciated. Take care, everybody. Have a great night and much more to come on Thursday here on Rob is a Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to robswebsite.com/iTunes or via the Rahap app at robswebsite.com/app. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Survivor, no Bye.
Survivor, no way.